Good morning, and I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai in the Old Testament. And today is quite different than normal because we are presenting the options on the renovation of the worship center. And I want to speak to that, and then Ryan's going to come and mention some things a little later. But I want to, before we talk about particulars of the renovation proper, I want to remind us of the spiritual nature of what we have embarked on and are continuing in, and you are a part of, as you look at the different color options and will ultimately decide, and based on that, we'll vote, and one of those will be the option that is used in the worship center. So I want to help us to not think merely, materially, or financially about this endeavor. I read out of Haggai chapter 1, and I first want to look at God's displeasure is to be our displeasure. God's displeasure is to be our displeasure. And that's in verse 1 through 4. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, This people says, The time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate? God looked down upon the people in a judgmental way because they had prioritized their dwellings more important than God's dwelling. The place where they lived more important than where God would be worshipped. And in other words, they could cared for their own homes, and when they looked at the place where they worshipped God, they continually came up with excuses why not to invest in it, why not to improve it. And they unnecessarily did this. In verse 2, you see the words, this people. And in verse 3, you see the word, you. In the original, those are plural forms. So it's not just referring to the leaders that are named in verse 1, but this is all the people of God at that time. He does not look down upon them judgmentally because they improved their homes, they beautified their homes, they expanded them, they made them safer. But rather, he looks down upon them because they prioritized that over his temple. And he does not look down on us for taking care of our homes and improving them and expanding them and making them more beautiful and more comfortable. We can be good stewards and do that. But he does look down judgmentally when that is prioritized and people would do that over and over, but with the opportunity would put off God's worship center. The second thing I want you to see is in verse 5 through 7. And that is God's counsel is to be heard. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God's counsel is to be heard. Twice in those three verses, he says, consider your ways. He is counseling them to look at all of these physical phenomena, not physically, not naturally, but to look at them spiritually, to see them through spiritual eyes, to look at their situation. In other words, there's something much deeper than they're taking care of their places, but they're not taking care of the worship center of God, the temple of God. There's something deeper. It's not just a practical or a financial thing, but it was a spiritual issue with them. And that's what Haggai is addressing. It is the spiritual issue. They could have invested and improved the temple of God, but they chose not to and chose to take care of theirs. And what that showed is that their priorities were wrong. They were prioritizing themselves over God. I believe with all my heart that we have sought to prioritize God in doing everything that we have been able to do over the years to improve the facilities of Trinity Baptist Church, both externally and internally. We have done it when we had the money, and we've prayed for the money. We did a major renovation of the fellowship hall and the kitchen and then the gym at that time. But we have done all of this without incurring debt. And that has been the thing we've believed that the Lord, and we're not criticizing anybody else or judging them. We're just saying we believe the Lord wanted us to approach this and as He made provision. And so we've prayed and waited and waited and waited. And when we renovated the fellowship hall and the kitchen and the gym, we put it in three phases, and we told the construction company and everything, they had to agree to it. We're going to go till the money runs out. We had money to start, but we did not have money to finish it. And so we had it in three phases. And if we did not have the money to come in, we would stop wherever that is. And by the grace of God and your generosity, we finished it. And had some pocket change left over, by the way. So I believe we've done that. I believe we've prioritized that. But we've not been willing to put the church in massive debt in order to do it. We do now have the opportunity and the finances to do this and to not incur debt. And that is the renovation of the worship center and the adjacent hallways and so forth, which I'll speak about in a moment. But what I want you to see here is it was not in Haggai's day, but it is not in our day. It is not merely a financial or a material endeavor we have embarked on. It is a spiritual one. It has to be birthed spiritually. It has to be guided spiritually, driven spiritually, and handled spiritually if we're going to honor God. And I know that's our heart. So we have listened to the counsel of God. So the first thing is God's displeasure has to be our displeasure. And the counsel of God has to be heard. But thirdly, I want you to see God's purpose has to be our purpose. And that's in verse 8 through 11. Through the prophet Haggai, God says, go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes too little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on the ground, on men, cattle, and all the labor of your hands. They were looking to themselves. They were looking at what we will do, what pleases us. When it pleases us to do that, we'll do it. We'll take care of our homes, that pleases us. And we'll do it in the way we pleases us. It was all about their pleasure over God's. That's what was wrong with what they were doing. And the same is true in the renovation. So there's three options that you will look at, and each of us will have a preference, no doubt. And that's what you'll vote on when we vote. You'll get three options to vote on. And you will have looked on them and you will have thought, I think this one is the most beautiful and I would like to see this one. And if you were the sovereign in charge or I was the sovereign in charge, that would be the one that took place. But what's going to happen? And I'm not a mathematician, but I can tell you this. If there's three options, it is highly unlikely we will all get what we prefer. I'm going to go ahead out there with that one. That's stepping out there because I don't do math well. There, you're thinking, well, God works miracles. There is a possibility we would all vote on the same one, but it's kind of like parting the Red Sea. It doesn't happen very often, particularly among Baptists. We can say that for sure. And so what they had a problem with is what pleased them. So we can have a preference, but the issue is not pleasing us. It is making sure the Lord is pleased. So we should always proceed with our ideas and goals and everything, but particularly as we're talking with renovating the worship center, as driven and making God's purpose our purpose. When we pick it, we're picking the one that we think to our eye is the best, but what we're believing that God would work among us and He will get the one He wants. Because verse 8 tells us, this is the purpose, that I may be pleased with it and glorified, says the Lord. That is the what, that is the why, and that is the how. And that's what has to be at our heart. And that has been with the elders and the committee, and we have all thrown in our ideas and preferences and things that we think would be better, but when it's over, we really wanted that. And when we look at what the end result of looking at pieces and hundreds of decisions and options and just make you go home and instead of going to sleep, you find yourself under the bed speaking in Hebrew in the middle of the night. I mean, it just drives you nuts. But the goal was that God would be honored. His purpose has to be our purpose. And then verse 12 through 14, God's call is to be heeded. God's call is to be heeded. Verse 12. And then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now notice in verse 12, it says, and the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. They showed reverence by working, but they showed it in their heart. Their mind had changed. The purpose of the Lord became their purpose. The priority between them and God became God again. And so it says, not only did they work, but they reverenced Him in their hearts, see? So the way that we do this, the why we do it, what we think about our vote gives us individually and corporately the opportunity to not only finish it, but to reverence the Lord. Verse 14. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They didn't back away. They didn't go down the path they had been on, but they had the opportunity and they seized it and they went for it. And then notice, right in the middle of those two verses, Haggai gave this from the Lord. In verse 13, this is God's encouragement. I am with you, declares the Lord. Right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. And we believe the Lord has brought this about for this time. So it's been going on a long time before I came here. But we've been praying about this for 22 years, what to do with the land and what God would have. And this was always an option. And the Lord has brought that about in His own good time. And we have, again, rather than trying to push things, we have tried to wait until there was a clear direction from the Lord. And we believe we have that. So God has granted us the opportunity to completely renovate the worship center. And the adjacent hallways, which I'll speak particularly to and specifically in a moment, for the first time since the sanctuary was built in 1962. So in 1962, this room that we're in was built. And it has not been renovated since. Now, if you're a guest, and you've come and you didn't know we were going to talk about this and you wanted to hear me or someone expounding the scripture, well, let me say to you, had you come last week, I did that. If you come back next week, I'll do it again. And I'm going to go ahead and step out there and make another promise. I promise you that if you'll come back, I will not speak to this again for another 60 years. I won't do it. Now, in 60 years comes, I can't tell you. I may have to address it again. But I will not, I'll guarantee you, in the next 60 years up to that time, speak to this issue. Others, some who are still around, not a lot, but some, but others that we do not even know, most of us, provided this place that we have worshiped God in for years and decades, and it cost us nothing. With no sacrifice. We inherited it. We've been blessed by it. And it is now our time to be able to hand it off to someone else. In other words, we have our first purpose is to glorify and honor God and to say, God, are you pleased? Not only with the outcome, but with our heart and the way we did it as the body of Christ and what each of us thought. But also to say, Lord, now we get to do something that makes it nice for those that come after us. And when you put those two things in it and we're making our choice about which one of the preferences we like and which one we're going to vote for. But I'm looking at that saying, I really like that one. But really the question is, what does the Lord want to happen? And that's what I want to happen. And then I want to be thanking God for being a part of handing something to people who will come after us that we don't even know. But they will enjoy the fruit of what we've done as we've enjoyed the fruit of others. What a blessing. What a joy. Since the beginning, and may we do so even from this point on, remember, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That is not merely talking about the brick and mortar. Because if you go on in that passage, it's very clear. They don't have the presence of God. What a tragedy. What a tragedy of tragedies. To handle the finances and the brick and mortar and all of that. And God not be present when we gather. We want Him to build it. Now, let me talk to you just a minute about what some of the renovation specifics. When you go out into the hallway to my left, and they tell me that's south hallway is what they say, and when you go out there, there are three architectural presentations of the three options, and primarily what you're looking at are the colors, because everything else structurally is the same. All three options were decided by the unanimous commitment and desire of the committee and the elders, working in concert with the direction and the expertise of Lippert Brothers, who's the construction company, their architect. So therefore, when we did it the way we did it as a church, and we had a professional architect all along, we end up with three options that are all professionally done. And therefore, if you don't get the one you like or I get, then it still is a professional job. It's not where, you know, a couple of men got together and painted one wall a stripe and another one polka dot and say live with it or something like that, who have no color coordination whatsoever. It is going to be a professionally color coordinated and structurally coordinated worship center. We can be assured of that. What you will do is look and pray, and then when we vote, again, you will vote for one of those three options. And there are three options, and they are quite understandably labeled option one, option two, option three. And there will be a corresponding ballot that will say option one, option two, option three. So we're not giving you a great challenge or anything. You'll just be able to do that very easily. It'll be a seamless movement there from looking at them and voting. Now I want to talk about some of the renovation changes other than the ones that are obvious. When you look at the pictures, some of them are just obvious, and I'm not going to address those because you can see those and make up your own mind. Some of the renovations are unseen. And then some of them, a couple of them I just want to comment on, so there is a word of clarification. And we do have people that are standing out there that were on the committee, and they understand what all the different color cards and so forth, the piece of carpet, where it goes, and this wood and so forth, and they can answer that for you. So everything that is renovated, everything that we touch has to be sprinkled, meaning there has to be a sprinkler system put in. So now we have zero sprinkler systems. When we're done, wherever we talk about renovation, there will be sprinkler systems. It's code. You don't have any choice. You put them in and you pay the price. Regarding the worship center proper, so just the room that we're in, just this one particular room, the platform will be raised about 18 inches so that when you're sitting in the back, it'll be much easier to see. There will be a lift for a wheelchair that will be over here, and it will be unobtrusive. But again, when we have children or somebody who's a part of a play or whatever and they need on the platform, they will have a lift that brings them up without going through doors and all kinds of different things that we've had to do, either lift them up and so forth through the years, which we've always regretted. But again, these changes are very costly, and sometimes prohibitively so. And then the riser, when you look at it, instead of having, this one has three steps up. There will be one, so that's a riser if you have a choir. But if Trinity doesn't have a choir at some time in the future, that riser, the whole platform is the same. All the wood is the same. It's already completely finished. That riser sits on it. Maybe, you know, it affixed with a screw or two, but it can be taken off and you have the platform, so that the church will not have to face, if they don't have choirs, still having the riser or either redoing the whole platform. All you'll do is literally take it off and take it away. There will be shades that will be able to be lowered over the windows when we have plays and so forth, and the light's been a problem for us. Particularly, that has been true in the summers. There will be a cry room back at the back, and it'll have an entrance from the worship center and from the foyer. And, of course, you could be in here with a child and they start crying and that's what they're for. You can go in there without having to separate from being in the fellowship. But sometimes we have families that have children that have long-term difficulties, and we want them to be able, as much as possible, to be a part in here rather than being separated somewhere. And so they will have that option as well. The audio-visual system in the worship center will be completely new. So we're not taking anything that we have and integrating it. Everything we get will be state-of-the-art, brand new. On the ceiling, you're going to notice there are trusses going across. You don't get to see all of them, but there are actually six of them. They're unseen right now, but everywhere you see these protrusions of these bricks that looks like a column, those are holding up massive trusses that go across. So we had two options. One was to replace the ceiling as we have it now, minus the rain-stained pieces up there. We weren't going to do that, and those are available if you're wanting one of them. But we were going to forego that. We just took the liberty of saying they wouldn't like that. So that was one, is just to replace the ceiling as it is. But unless you're one of these church rats that have been up there, you don't realize that there's 12 feet between that ceiling and the roof of the building. And the roof is held up by these massive trusses. Once the architect put that in perspective, how that can be capitalized on. And instead of being something you got to deal with or cover up, you can actually extenuate it. Then it became something that was beautiful, and we saw it as something to take advantage of. Because if you put the ceiling in now with code, you would have sprinkling here. But you also have to have some form of a sprinkling system between the roof and the ceiling. That's code. You don't have a choice. That costs $30,000+ to do that. And you never see it or even know it's there, but you have to do it. We all unanimously opted for the trusses. And they just look so beautiful. Churches that want that, they have to actually pay a lot of money to get that done. For us, we just have to unveil it. And there is a wonderful connection that if you go back and look at old historic churches and so forth, hundreds of years old, the roofs are still held up by these major, huge trusses that are all of them are exposed, every one of them, and they're made of wood. So the modern part of that ancient practice is that ours are made of steel. So those were the two options, and we did not spend any money by doing this extra, but we saved $30,000+, and we get this wonderful look in the worship center. The foyer will be refloored, it will be enlarged, and the ceiling will be raised significantly. The hallway to my left will be widened. It will be receive new carpet. The ceiling will be raised there as well. And there will be a wheelchair ramp put in on one of the sides of the hall. So the hall will be much wider, but there'll be a wheelchair ramp that, of course, is for wheelchairs, but it'll be of a grade that you can walk up and down it as well if you don't want to take the steps. The hallway behind me, behind the platform, it will also be widened, and the ceiling will be raised on it as well. When we take this one out and we widen it, we lose the two small bathrooms that are here. But what will happen is, in the renovation, we get four large, brand new restrooms. So those two smaller, older ones will be replaced with two new ones that are larger. And then up here on the corner of the foyer, if you walk down here where it joins with the hall, there will be two large new bathrooms there. So we will have four new restrooms, and two of them will be additional to what we have. We are putting in an elevator, and that will go out in this hall. When you're out in this hall, the main staircase that goes upstairs, the main thoroughfare for us to get from one floor to the other, well, it will be on one side of that. So we'll still have the stairway, but we'll have an elevator. And let me just say to you, this has kind of been a burden of our heart for many, many years. And we've had people in our church who desperately needed an elevator. And we looked into it. We've had people give us prices. We've looked at the cheapest. We've done everything, but we just didn't. They are extraordinarily expensive, and we just didn't have the money. It wasn't our heart. This is one of those things where somebody's asking you to do something, and your heart is, let's do it. But at that time, you don't have the way. It has always been our heart to accommodate so that somebody can come in this church who is handicapped or a child or an adult or whatever, and they can move around as freely as the rest of us. And we are now able to do that. We don't anticipate it being used for normal going up and down the stairs and so forth, but it will be there for those that need it. And so if you'll notice, we are putting a lift over here that takes care of this problem. There will be a ramp out in the hallway that keeps somebody in a wheelchair from having to come into the worship center to get around those steps. We'll have an elevator that can take them to each floor. And another thing, when you move from pews to chairs, one of the wonderful things that you get with that is if you have people in a wheelchair, you can ask them, let's say somebody comes, you know, regularly, they're a member and they're here every week, where would you like to sit? And they say, right here. Okay, you just remove that chair and they can move that wheelchair in there every time. Because if you've ever handled somebody in a wheelchair or been in a wheelchair or had something that causes you to have to sit in a way that others don't, it's very uncomfortable. I think you could ask people in a wheelchair when we have to put them on the end of the pew, do you like that? And they say, no, I feel in the way. So this just makes them be able to sit with the rest of us in an unobtrusive way. Wonderful thing. The gym where we will worship for the next few months, it will be painted. They've already painted it, so you can look in it and see how it brightens it up and good it looks and everything. But, of course, there's some details they still have to work on. But it will ultimately be completely repainted, and there will be new chairs in there. There will be a new platform that is larger than the one we have, more sturdy than the one we have, and it is module, so we will use the largest one when we're worshiping in there. But for certain events, we may just use portions of it. And there will be an entirely new audiovisual system with a larger screen. And as you well know, if you've been around Trinity, we have banquets and we have mission night and so forth in there. And the sound is uncontrollable. And the genius sound men we have, even with them, they are unable to conquer that. And so we are having it professionally redone. To show you how far off it is, if any of you know anything about these sound panels that they put in places, the sound men figure it out to make the sound work right. Well, the last time I was involved in that in a big room, they said you need six of these to get your sound right. But we need 40. So I'm just telling you, there's something going on there. And if you've had trouble hearing or seem to be an echo or one of 30 other sounds, hopefully these 40 soundboards will take care of that. The fellowship hall will eventually get new chairs. So what's happening is we're putting new chairs into the gym while we're worshiping. then once we're back in here, those chairs, the nice chairs, will go into the fellowship hall, and the ones that are in the fellowship hall will go into the gym, and the metal chairs are going to go somewhere else. If you will help me, we'll take them all to Randy's house for him. So the cost of this, we sold the land for $4.5 million a while back, and we had allocated X amount percentage of whatever we sold it for. This was long before we sold it or had a firm price, but we divvied it up, and 60% of it went to the building facilities and grounds. The rest of it went to missions and ministry. And so that 60% equals $2.7 million. So we have $2.7 million to work on the church plant here at Trinity. This project that we're talking about that includes the worship center, what's being done in the gym, what's being done in the fellowship hall, the foyer, this hall, elevator, everything, will be right at $2.1 million. So we're able to do this in just the most wonderful way by the provision that we have. And then the rest of this will be used for different major projects that we need to do as well. But when we're done, we will not owe anything on it. And that is a real blessing of the Lord. Not many places, yeah. Not many places have that opportunity. And so we are just truly blessed that that has not been a worry, nor shall it be. Now, let me just give you the schedule of what's coming. So today until March the 9th, we're going to vote on March the 9th. March. We're not going to wait till next March. I thought they might have a lot of questions. You never can tell. They've rushed it up to May. Pressure. So I was trying to give all the time in the world for you to ask questions. But between now and May 9th of 2021, you are going to be able to look at these and ask questions. Because we want to answer all the questions before we vote. We want everybody understanding, you know, what this is when you look at it. And just any questions that might come up, we want to try to answer them. And so you can ask anybody on the committee, whom Ryan will introduce momentarily. And you can ask any of the elders. And then while they're in the hall, we have people out there from the committee who know this well, and they will seek to answer your questions. And if we can't, one of us can't answer it, we will find it for you. Ryan has also scheduled some times where there, you'll see the schedule out there, where if you have more questions than you just can ask, or out there when you're in the hall just for a moment or two, or the crowd's too big, you can come to these times and you can ask questions, and either Ryan and an elder and maybe somebody else, but at least that will be in there to answer those questions. So you can look at those out there as well. We want everyone to have ample time to answer the questions. On May the 9th, we will vote in each of the morning services. And as always, you must be here to vote. So you can't vote by proxy. We don't do that at Trinity, but Baptists do not do that historically, ever. You have to be there. There are good reasons for that, too, by the way. But you have to be here to vote, or you can regret not being here. Those are your two options. As always, on all of these major things we do, we vote without discussion, because we will be in a worship time, at a time of preaching and praising God. And so we are taking some of that time to take care of getting the vote, and we will get it in here, we'll get it both services, and we'll get it throughout the facility, those watching children and doing other things. But we don't want to interrupt the worship. So that's why it's important that you get your questions answered prior to that time. And we give ample time for that. We plan on announcing the results after the second service. So the first service, we'll get those, and we'll come in here, do these, and then, unless something unforeseen was to happen, we will announce them. Now, before Ryan comes, let me just say a word or two. Ryan has been the chairman of this committee, and it is a mammoth task to chair a committee made up like this one. It is men and women through the church. It's the elders and all of us, different backgrounds, so forth. And then you have this mammoth task that you have been charged with for the body of Christ. And so you're cognizant of that responsibility. And I just don't think words have been created for me to express my appreciation for the way that Ryan has led. It has been stellar in every way, and he has worked arduously, far more. Everybody has worked, and I'll mention that, but far more than any of the rest of us, because he has to get everything going. He has to arrange the meetings and get the meetings when people can be there, and then the company can be there, and the architect can be there, everybody can be there. And then when we're there, he's guiding the meeting, which, you know, the old phrase, sometimes doing this is like herding cats. I mean, it just doesn't go as smooth as you think. And he handles all of that. And then he has to get us to summarize things when it's over. And he leaves that meeting and we move on. But he has to put everything together, then communicate with Lippert Brothers about what came out of the meeting, what we're looking for next week, what we think was good, what we think was not good, etc. And then many times they've come up here to the building, walking through it and so forth. He's walked through that with them, talked to them on numerous occasions, and he has to bring things to the elders. So, again, it's not just the committee meeting, but it's talking to the construction company. It's talking to the elders and making things clear to us on different decisions that have been made and so forth. But he has done this and in the most wonderful way. And let me say this as well. These kinds of endeavors, they have a lot of responsibility and they have a lot of moving parts. And there are literally hundreds of decisions that are made. But one of the things you're doing is working with a company who has a lot of other projects going on. And then you're working with an architect who is very creative and very superb in what he does. But to keep these things moving takes some pressure. We could realistically be in July and August and me making this announcement. But Ryan kept the pressure on and kept pushing, and he did it judiciously and wisely, not to rush the process so that you didn't get quality, but it was not to let it just get stuck at some point and sit there for a month or two and then move a little and then another month. And that can very easily happen. And these things can drag out to where you are all in pain. And he kept it going. And yet none of us as a committee felt, our elder felt, that we were under pressure. We just felt like it was moving very well. And we wanted to see that. Again, he has served you as a church well. Amen. Whether it's in the meetings, working with the company, whatever it's been, I mean, you can be thankful to the Lord, and I know you are. And then just a word about the committee. We have a committee that is made up of people, again, with different backgrounds. We have male and female. And then you have the elders who represent the, not necessarily older, but the more mature, we might say, of our church. And so there was a lot of ideas and opinions. And what I watched was really great. From the very beginning, even selecting the company, there were various opinions on the different companies that were interviewed. Ryan will talk about that. But as we were going through the process of meeting, again, there's hundreds and hundreds of decisions that you're making, and you're looking at all kinds of things and considering all kinds of things, and whether it looks good and whether what's the maintenance on it along the years and so forth and so on. What's the advantage of this over this? And they would, number one, they would be at every meeting. And our meetings did last a few hours, and there were many of them. And they would express their opinion, what they thought, and even contend for it. And others would have an opinion. And sometimes it would go away from what you wanted, and we just moved right on. They just fell right in with that. But sometimes what I think is so beautiful is that if one person was doing this, you have X amount of ideas, and that's what you would end up with. But when you get a group that feels free to speak and free to express their opinions and do so, not only do you get what you think's best and others agree, but sometimes we're going in a different direction and this person says this and all of a sudden everybody sees that's the best. Had that person not been there or spoke up, we might have missed that, see? And that's the beauty of these things. They're not as efficient as a monarchy who makes all the decisions, doesn't talk to anybody, but the end product far surpasses it. And that's what the result of this has been. They have been diligent in this. They have been faithful in the meetings and served in a way that is humbling to have served with them, walked along, watched the process, and I'm so grateful for every one of them. And Ryan's going to introduce them now, so you come up and say some other things.
Well, as Ronnie was saying, it was a joy to work on this project. We've had a great time doing it. The committee was put together a little over 7 months ago in October, and the meeting started immediately with the first big issue was selecting the company. And what we did was we had over 20 submissions of companies and recommendations, and the committee got that down to 8. And then we did research on 8 companies and eventually brought it down to 3 and brought all 3 of those in to interview extensively, and then chose Lippert Brothers Construction working with Studio Architecture. Our first meeting with Lippert Brothers after they had been chosen was almost 3 months ago today. And so it has been a whirlwind, 3 months. I shared with the committee the other day that in total with the committee and the elders, it has been over 400 combined hours of meetings. And so, as Ronnie mentioned, I don't think we had anyone miss a meeting. And sometimes we did these meetings, they'd have a couple of days notice. Sometimes we threw some together on afternoons. And so it's not just when we introduce them and as you thank them in just a few moments, it's also thanking their spouses and their families for giving the time to allow them to serve in this way, because it was a major, major commitment. It was a working committee from the very beginning, so at every phase, they were involved in the research of companies, the research of other churches, looking at facilities to see, get ideas. They were constantly learning. They're all now adept at reading floor plans and all these different things, and so it was very much, they were at work the entire time. And as Ronnie mentioned, I don't think as we look back on it, there were major contributions to the project made by every single one of the committee members. One of the things that was most encouraging as we walked through this was that, and Ronnie alluded to this, but there was no agenda that was brought by the committee other than to want the very best for what would be for Trinity and what was right for Trinity, while at the same time recognizing that this is an important room. That this was a room where many people here have been married. There have been weddings, there have been funerals, there have been baptisms, important worship times for each of us. And we wanted to take that into account, recognizing that can make change very difficult. This was a committee that committed to pray, and I'm so thankful for that. Early on, we asked them to commit to pray daily for the project. And one of the main things that we spent time in our meetings, as well as on our own praying for, was for the church, for you all. As we were immersed in it, we wanted it to be something that when you all finally saw it, that you would be supportive excited and it would be something that would bring unity to our church. And so we were very thankful for that. So I do want to introduce them and recognize them. And I'm going to ask you guys when I call your name to stand. I know you'll love doing that, but we need you to. And then for those of you who try to get a chance to visit with them and just say thank you for the time they put in, they have done an amazing work. So Randy Presley was our elder liaison to the committee. Chris Haynes, Pete Jackson, Alana LaFon, Carol Ann Lindley, Dean Long, and Adam Wilmoth. And everyone's here except for Dean, who comes to the early service. And so when you see Dean, make sure you tell him thank you. Will you join me in just thanking them for what they've done?